Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, hello and welcome to episode number 136 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, Sean Orford, and our pal Emma Parker-Goff in the corner there.
Hello.
We're,
as I read this out, we're overlooking Liverpool, aren't we, Sean?
Yeah, stunning view. It's amazing.
And just down the road, there's a bomb threat live going on.
Yes, they've cordoned all the streets off. Apparently there's a chappie in the building who's threatening to blow us all up. So.
Yeah.
So. Well, that end of the world, anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be fine here. But yeah. Quite freaky, actually. A bit scary, isn't it?
I wonder how normal that kind of thing is going to become as these threats.
Your proximity is quite handy. Maybe you should get in there and sort it all out.
What do you think?
You're the man for the job.
they said that they were talking him down, didn't they? They were trying to do
They've got a trained...
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the word is. Whatever.
The negotiator is in there.
Yeah. That's the type of thing you'd be good at, though, right?
Depends how much they were paying.
I'm sure you can negotiate that,
yeah. Yeah. No, I've never done anything like that. It's interesting. Mm. Yeah.
All right. For those that are new to the show... liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out. Lots of show notes and links from this and previous episodes. Some free stuff you can download. Have a look at it. This week we are talking about introversion, aren't we?
Yeah, we can't talk about it because we're introverts.
I think the two guys with a podcast that love broadcasting themselves on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Basis.
Yeah. And, yeah, we'll get to that. But that's,
we'll
yes.
That.
Yeah.
It's a listener request. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about on the show, drop us an email and we'll fit it in. Have you been, Sean? You okay?
Yeah, life's good. Into 2016.
Yeah. Up to speed?
Yeah. Yeah, back into it. Yeah, life's good. Lots of plans, lots of things happening.
Cool.
There's another whole load of police cars have just gone up the road as we speak.
Yeah, it's pretty serious, I think. I'm watching the live kind of the live feed of, on the Liverpool Echo site of what's going on. It is, it's literally 200-300 yards from here, though.
Yeah.
Bit crazy. I had a blood test MOT yesterday. You know, I get these kind of semi-regular cholesterol checks.
Yeah.
I'm a hypochondriac, is that right?
Yeah.
How old are you?
34. Not afraid to say.
60.
Well, the thing is, it was all fine. My cholesterol's a bit high, but the good cholesterol is high, which is good, and my bad cholesterol is low. So it's cool.
It's good.
But I'm sitting with the nurse, because I've kind of avoided seeing the nurse and the GP about it in the past, because I just figure... You know, I can just figure out for myself. I've got the numbers. But she was really good, actually. And I'd actually asked the lady that took the blood from me what else was checked. And she'd said, oh, just cholesterol. And I was like, okay. But anyway, this nurse showed me on screen because there's loads of things that it tests for.
Yep.
You know, blood sugar level, vitamin D levels, all that kind of stuff. And it was all on my little chart on the screen.
Mm.
The levels. And then she could even click into each one and it would show like a historical... graph. Like, this is brilliant, why can't I access this all the time? So my little tip is to go get blood tests, because I wouldn't have got this done. You know, I wouldn't have known I had high cholesterol probably until I was 60 70.
One of the problems with cholesterol testing is that people have lived for thousands of years without having their cholesterol tested, and suddenly we're obsessed with it. Like, we actually need cholesterol. You need cholesterol to make your nervous system.
Well, I've learned all stuff.
So it is getting the balance right, and the issue for most people with cholesterol, high cholesterol, is genetic.
Yes.
And yes, diet has an effect, but the people that seem to be most vulnerable are the genetically connected.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot on my mum's side of the family.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not worried. I'm really intrigued by it. And it's, you know, we kind of, in many countries, we wait till stuff goes wrong with our health before we do anything about it, don't we?
Yeah.
Whereas if people were kind of monitoring this stuff on an annual basis, I don't know, it'd probably be healthier.
Yeah, we could get into a whole issue here about what it is that you put in your mouth, because lots of food is rubbish.
Right, yeah.
And also today, and Dry January, the new alcohol...
Dry January, yeah, good point.
Recommendations.
Yes. Are you keeping up your Dry January, Emma?
No. Some days have been better than others, I have to say.
What I heard it on the news this morning, Sarah.
7 glasses of wine a week.
And have 2 days where you don't drink anything. I
believe. Really talk about that, but they've said that for a long time.
Mm. It's usually 3 days. If you think of the way your liver functions, you need 3 days to get it to kick back in again.
Which, it's not a problem for me. But, some people think it's habits, isn't it?
Yeah.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah.
I still can't get around how many people smoke, especially working in Liverpool now. going into this building, you know, you have to walk through the clouds of smoke, the square. Do you know what I mean now?
Do you know what you mean?
I know you used to, you don't smoke anymore. I'll edit that out. I did every now and again. Anyway.
The vape issue. People are vaping.
That's weird, isn't it?
Well, there's things like formaldehyde in vapes, and we don't know what the long-term effects are going to be.
Mm-hmm. My brother-in-law was a social smoker, and he never used to smoke in the house or in the home or around the home environment, and now he's got a big e-fag.
Oh, right.
And he sits on the sofa with it all the time, and it's like Puff the Magic Dragon.
They're weird. They look like little mini flutes, don't they?
Yeah, and he's smoking more than ever before.
But the issue...
And my sister lets it.
It's the secondary smoking with a vape. We don't know what the effect of that is. If you sit in a room with someone who's vaping, you can feel it affecting your system. So, yep.
Yeah, we're getting sidetracked, as we often do on this part of the show.
That's part of the fun.
We'll crack on with this week's episode, which is about introversion. And a listener, Ian,
yep,
emailed into us, which we are very grateful for. We encourage others to do so. And so what he said, I am very much an introvert, and although I wouldn't want to change, being introverted can make life difficult at times, particularly when it comes to making friends and relationships. Introverts need time alone to recharge the batteries, and extrovert partners often find this hard to understand. As introverts can find it very hard to make close friends, we only want to mix with people who share our hobbies and interests and are really not interested in small talk. So, of course, thanks, Ian, for emailing us. Interesting topic. Where do we start, Sean?
Well, I start from the point of view that introversion is as natural as extroversion. In the West, we're obsessed with extroversion. We're obsessed with people wanting to show how good they are, whether we're talking about Facebook, you know, whatever the social media is.
Yeah, playing for X Factor, making a fool of yourself on national telly, having your own podcast.
Yeah. People need to do things
YouTube
like that.
YouTube channels, all that stuff.
Yeah, but even down to what people are doing with their bodies. Whether we're looking at lip fillers and face lifts and boob jobs and all this kind of stuff. It's all, look at me, look at me, look at me. Even down to the craze for tattooing and seeing everybody covered in tattoos.
In Chinese symbols, that they...
Don't know what they say.
Sure, the meaning of, yeah. So what is an introvert?
Well, I think that it isn't something that we are. It's something that is. The world is in a balance. If you look at the opposites, we talk about yin and yang, male and female, positive, negative, and active, passive. They are things that complement each other.
Yeah.
So I think anybody who's totally extrovert, who doesn't involve themselves in any introversion, is out of balance, and the same with someone who's extroverted, who's introverted. It's like you need the balance of the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone is completely extrovert all the time, in the end they burn out and blow out. It's heart attack country, it's high blood pressure,
it's
all that kind of
people just being. Because I don't know myself, I kind of have sides of both, really.
Yeah.
I can be.
But that's normal.
Confident talking on something like this. You know, that's going out around the world to a decent-ish number of people.
Yeah.
But in a big, like when I was younger and I'd be going out on a night out, I'd always be the one kind of quite quietly standing in the corner. You know, I'd get involved and have a boogie and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I'd not be shutting my head off and life and soul, really.
Yeah.
Depending on how much vodka Red Bull I'd take on board.
The disinhibitors.
Yeah.
If I do a conference and maybe there's 4,000 people there and I go out on a stage, and people say to me, well, you're so confident and you're, you know, that you're an extrovert. And it isn't like that at all. The first times I ever did things like that, I was quite anxious and nervous. I've just learned to do it.
Yeah.
Although people may experience me to be extroverted, actually I'm quite an introvert.
Yeah.
I like my own company. I have no problems with being alone. And the issues for me are meditation or going away on those 10-day things where I meditate for 100 hours in 10 days is fabulous. That's a nice place to be.
Cool.
But it's a balance between the two. I do get a buzz out of being on a stage in front of a load of people. I do.
Yeah.
But I get a huge buzz from being on my own in meditation too.
Chilling out. Yeah. I was thinking about introversion in kind of our society is almost seen as almost like an illness in some ways.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, like, oh, he's very quiet, that guy over there. Are you okay? What's up with him? He's not getting involved, or she. is, isn't it? And I'm sure, I was thinking about how I kind of, you know, I've got two young kids, and how what I'm teaching them to be and to be like is, in some ways, I guess we do kind of push the extroversion in terms of, in the sense.
But if a child wants to be quiet in the corner and just be who they are, it's okay. But we say, no, go on, socialise, go on.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's like at a party, I'm starting to take Will to kids' parties now. You want them to get involved and like pushing them to kind of go get stuck in. And he doesn't always want to, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes he just wants to sit and play on a tricycle on his own. And that's, weird.
But the issue about who are we doing it for? We think we're doing it for our child, but is it the way that we're seen through our child? You know, our child needs to be seen to be a go-getter.
Yeah.
You know, your child's a bit quiet. Yeah, is that wrong? Is that bad? As opposed to allowing the child to be what the child needs to be.
Yeah.
Rather than what we end up creating things like social phobias that I end up dealing with later in life because kids were forced to do things they didn't want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
There's plenty of examples of famous folks, stage and screen, who on screen personality is larger than life, but then camera switches off.
Yeah.
Or they go behind the stage and then, you know, they don't talk to anyone or they be on their own.
Yeah.
They say that about comedians, don't they?
Comedians, yeah. It's got a high level
Alfred
of
Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of people that have this public persona which is so big and actually they're quite small inside. Yeah. They're quite little people.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Robin Williams of late, who, you know, is the life and soul of the whole universe, isn't he? On screen and as a comedian, as an actor, but, you know, behind the scenes, he's really struggling, and there's lots of examples like that. I know.
Oh, Stephen Fry.
Yeah, Al Pacino struggles with depression, guys like that.
Yeah.
It's a bit like this, doesn't he? It's a bit miserable, Al Pacino.
Well, he's a pretty intense chap, isn't he? Very intense guy.
But we'd, because what we're talking about here, are we as a society saying that extroversion and being this kind of, hey guys, I'm here, is a positive thing that we need to kind of emulate and get to?
Yeah.
And is it that we devalue the introverted side of ourselves? Because, I mean, we talk a lot about mindfulness. I know you and I have this joke about should you meditate or not. Mm-hmm. But when you meditate, you feed the introverted side of your personality. But there are lots of positives in that. So I've got a list of 10 positive things that are good about introverted people.
Cool.
So
let's go through.
Okay, yeah. So the first one is introverted people are usually good at one-to-one relationships.
Okay.
You know, that they can have deep relationships with other people.
Just out of interest, do introverts tend to get checked up with extroverts? Is it yin and yang? Or
It depends. Sometimes you get that where two people together make a whole person.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they make up for each other's deficits, and that can be good.
Okay.
Yeah. But sometimes you'll get two people that are introverted and they don't make big external displays of passion or emotion, and they have a quiet relationship, but it's a very deep relationship. So they might sit together with a log fire and stare into the flame. So maybe neither of them say anything, but maybe they don't need to. That their communication is at a deeper intuitive level. They don't need to be going, oh, isn't this wonderful? Oh, you know, I love you so much. Yeah, it's like they can feel it. They don't need to say it sometimes.
Well, Ian in his email, you know, mentioned that he has or had trouble connecting with people and finding those connections in the first place because of his introversion. So is there a certain kind of barrier you need to get over?
So some people will say to me, excuse me, that they like online stuff and online dating because you do a lot of emailing. And people that are deeply introverted find it easier to email than to talk.
Yeah, you have a bit more time to think, choose your words carefully. And
yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. But there does come a point in any of those online dating things where you do actually have to do the face-to-face bit. You get to that point.
Unless you've got one of those weird relationships where like you're dating someone on like death row in America.
I do have a couple of people that have long-term relationships with people that they've never met that are online relationships with people in the States.
Yeah.
From here. Yeah.
Cool.
But, people that are introverted tend to have good access to their own introverted side, tend to have long-term relationships because there's no superficiality and kind of jumping from one thing to another.
Not just, like, as in partners, but friendships as well.
Yeah. And I know for you, you're still mates with people that you were at school with.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Quite lucky. I got that already. Yeah.
But you have to have a deeper level of connection to maintain that.
Yeah.
If you live in a superficial relationship world, then you would have moved on to other people by now.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, it's the relationships I have with those guys, and also I guess my brother as well. I was thinking about this when we get together, or when I see my brother, which is, you know, every few months or whatever. We're not asking what's gone on over the last few months. There's no kind of feel like we need to catch up on exactly what we've been up to. Me and my brother, sometimes we'll just not seeing each other for ages, and we'll get together and we'll not say anything, we'll just kind of just sit in the room together watching telly like we used to. You know, because there's that kind of comfort.
I'm going to say it's the issue, but is it comfortable? Is it when one of you is thinking there's an awkward silence here, should I be saying that, rather than just being in the silence, and it's okay to be in the silence.
Yeah, same with my pals as well. There's not much silence when I get together with my pals, because they're a bunch of idiots and we're just ripping stuff out of each other that happened 20 years ago. Still that level of comfort, I guess.
Okay. Introverts tend to be more flexible, and that's because they will actually contemplate and examine things before they act, whereas an extrovert tends to be being reactive to what's going on around them. Okay. So introverts tend to be easier to work with in terms of getting them to do things, because they can consider before they act, before they do. So you do get a greater flexibility,
which sounds
like it would be the other way around, but it isn't.
So if you're a boss and you're looking to hire people, look for introverts. There's things that, like personality tests, that companies do, aren't there, when they're hiring people?
Yeah.
So will companies often look for introverts?
It depends. It depends on one of the problems I have with managers interviewing people is managers tend to employ themselves. What they do is they see the qualities that they think are good in themselves, and when they see them in other people, they think that person must be good too. Which is a problem for me, because if in a team two people always agree, then one of them is redundant.
Yep.
You need to have that movement of energy around a team, which means that if you're going to employ someone, you need to profile, and maybe the profile does include concepts of introversion and extroversion. When you're actually, so you're in the interview process, you're building that in.
Okay.
But it does depend on what you're looking for, but you have to know what you're looking for. That's the key.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Introverts tend to be more independent, and that's because they don't need any validation from the outside. They're not looking. It's that thing about the cocktail party. The extrovert comes in and goes, "Hiya, how you doing? I'm here." And what they're saying is, "Give me value, give me value, give me value." Whereas the person who sat in the corner, who's just quietly chatting to people and drinking a cocktail, is getting their validation from the inside out. They don't need other people to tell them they're okay, because they feel okay.
Inside out?
Yeah, inside out.
Come for that. We'll come to that later on.
Yeah.
We'll get it later. Cool.
Yeah, so that... I suppose my introverted side, I'm okay. I walked from here to India on my own and did stuff on days when you could go through Afghanistan and things like that. And that's okay. I didn't need other people to be with me to do that.
Full now, blooming heck.
Yes, yeah, without them cordoning the streets.
Yeah. Well, what was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, and that sense of kind of extroverts looking for attention, or, you know, you see it online with kind of selfies, people craving likes and comments and, "Oh, you look beautiful, love," and all that stuff. Are all extroverts actually introverts, but they're just kind of...
But no, I think we're all both.
Okay.
We're all both, but we predominate on things that make us feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if I need other people to tell me I'm okay, then I'm going to go on Facebook and go, "I've just done so-and-so," on the basis that other people are going to go, "I like that," or they're going to make some kind of comment.
Craving,
and that validates who I am in my own eyes.
Yeah.
So and that's the outside in, rather than doing it from the inside out. You know, do I need that? You know, why do I need that?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at introverts, you've got people who have stronger abilities to concentrate, that because they're not flitting all over the place, they're much more focused when it comes to doing things, which might be studying or whatever. But also when you're working with people, from my point of view, it's easier for them to be self-reflective. Mm. You know, when you do self-development courses, almost every course says you need to keep a self-reflective diary, a journal, and write down what you're experiencing. And the introverts are fine. You know, they write down a lot of deep stuff about what they're experiencing as they go through the process. And all the extroverts are having to scrabble it together the night before the course to make it look like they've done it because they didn't do it during the week. Kind of thing.
Okay, cool.
So that kind of self-reflected bit.
Responsible.
If you look at introversion allows you to examine what you do. Therefore, your ability to be responsible or to respond appropriately, which is the same word, is greater. People that are working off the hoof in an extrovert way, unless they are really, really awake and on the ball, tend to be doing things that can be a bit scatterbrained.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you think about a salesperson's out there selling you a car, and they're going to tell you and say all kinds of things to you that are going to get you to the point of completing the sale.
Yeah, well, down there, the BMW garage will be...
As we speak, it'll all be going on down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the issue is that once they've made the sale, they're your best mate while they're making the sale. But once they've made the sale, you know, you're a nobody. Yeah. Which is interesting, because I go into the Mercedes garage just at the other side of there. And so what I do is I buy their demonstrator, drive it to 100,000 miles, and then take it back in and get another one. And whenever I go in there, I'm their best mate. Hi, Sean. Yeah. So what's the latest demonstrator you're going to give me? Yeah. And then I'll drive it and then go back and get another one. That's my relationship with them. But it's a periodic relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a game that as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. So you got to play it.
But I think you can also enjoy being sold to. You can. It's quite a pleasurable experience to go and have someone kind of nurture you in that way.
We're going out to some baffled doors, sliding doors, the weekend to get a bit of work done on the house. So I'll be enjoying. I don't actually enjoy it that much, but maybe I'm coming at the wrong angle. Maybe I can just
allow the extrovert to smooze you.
Yeah. And then knock them down on price. The Alan Sugar way of business, isn't it?
Negotiation.
Yeah. Give me your best deal. So you think introverts here are better, are kind of more creative?
Yeah, very often. It's the issue of being able to examine something from lots of different angles. In a balanced organisation, you've got the creatives tend to be the introverts that are somewhere working out ideas, and the extroverts are the ones that take that creative image and run with it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I look at some of the bigger organisations that I deal with, like a Maze, that do a lot of the digital marketing, you get two kinds. You get the creatives who are putting it together, and then you get the guys that are out there that are fronting the organisation with the customer.
This is why we need this balance in the world, and it's all sides of things.
And that's what I mean about it. It's important that we don't devalue people that are quiet and analytical, because they are people who are putting things together that the extrovert can't do.
Well, they're the final two points, the analytical side and the studious and smart. And I guess introverts are often seen as more intellectual, aren't they? And
yeah.
Smarter?
Yeah, sometimes. It depends. Well, depends.
They may not necessarily be.
Yeah. I suppose my favourite image of balance is when I see a chief executive who is an extrovert out there doing it and fronting the organisation. But behind them is a PA. I mean, traditionally, the chief exec is male and the PA is female, but it actually isn't always that way round. It can be all kinds of mixtures. But you get someone out there who can do...
It may be like three or four mixtures, can't they?
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You don't need to be sexist about it. But the idea that you've got someone out there who is extrovert and doing it, but behind them is this this more introvert person who's backing up what they're doing. So the phrase is, behind every great man, there's a great woman. What we mean is, behind every great extrovert is a good introvert.
Okay.
Who's balancing up what they're doing.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the point, is that both those areas are really, really important for us as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So are you an extrovert or an introvert?
I'm both, aren't I? As we've just learned, but I think I'm probably more... aside more on the introvert side, I reckon, which may be tricky for some people to understand.
Can we have feedback? Know. Is he an introvert?
Do you think I'm more introverted than extroverted?
I would say 50-50.
I'm a bit of a chameleon, really. I guess when you're in business, you've got to be good at everything, haven't you? You've got to switch stuff on and off. Would you agree, Emma?
Modest. Yes, that you need to know when to follow the lead from other people, don't you?
Because we're salespeople, aren't we? We're the workers, we're the accountants and all that lot, so...
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about yourself, Sean?
I'm actually more of an introvert, I think. Because of what I do, I spend a lot of time listening to people, and I spend more time listening than I do talking.
Okay.
I can do the extrovert stuff when I need to.
Yeah.
But I'm quite comfortable being the quiet one in the corner, having a drink, and being the observer of life.
Cool. All right. Well, any conclusions or any more help we can give to? I'm sorry, Emma. You look a bit upset there. What did you want to do yourself? It's fine.
What?
Should we do Emma? You haven't known Emma that long, Sean. What do you reckon? The body language.
But if I read the body language, we've got quite a powerful extroversion there. But if we look at the forehead, I guess there's a balance. If you look at the strength of the lower jaw, there's a dynamic action woman there. She could do stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But if you look at the depth of the forehead and you look at that intuitive function, also if you look at the spacing of the eyes, sorry about this, but I have to draw your picture. If you look at the spacing of the eyes are quite tolerant. There's quite a lot of tolerance there. They're actually quite well spaced.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say you've got quite a long fuse.
I talk all the time, don't I? Make a lot of noise. But as my mother says, you actually never really know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I am loud. Not loud, I'm going to say, I just like to talk.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm quite quiet.
Yeah.
I'm quite
easygoing. One thing that's interesting, I know that no one that's listening to this can see this, but if you keep your face like that, can you don't do that again with your forehead? Can you see the way those lines are completed?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not all over the place. That represents a clarity of mind.
Oof.
When those lines aren't complete and they're all over the place, it's someone who's got a scatterbrain. Yeah, there's good intuition in that.
There you go. I'm glad you came in to witness this today. Cool. Well, yeah. Any conclusions or anything else we can help Ian with?
I think that Ian, it's good to be introverted, and it's good to value your introversion.
Yeah.
And it's down to who do you feel comfortable with in these close relationships. It's easier as an introvert to make a close relationship with another introvert. Yeah, it's being valued by an extrovert is quite difficult. If someone is out there and their value is in look at me, and you're not doing that, yeah, it's two extroverts have an easier kind of relationship, but it tends to be competitive.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas introverts aren't into competition; they're into communication. It's different.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So there's no kind of. I don't know Ian's relationship status, but you wouldn't encourage introverts to necessarily look for other introverts or extroverts. It's kind of.
I think it's the way that it works. I mean, obviously, it's a degree, isn't it? Because we've got all these things within us. Yeah, but if you are very introverted and you're in a relationship with an extrovert, you're likely to get trodden on quite a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chip in.
Sorry, did you just say introverts are sometimes trodden on?
Yeah.
So some of the introverts I've met in my life, I was married to one.
Oh. Yeah.
He could be quite difficult, actually, because he was quite...
Was he fixed?
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually came across sometimes as quite rude.
Yeah, I think that those are the dangers. We're looking at the positive bits of introversion, but the dangers of introversion are that we get disconnected.
Yeah, and you have very close relationships.
Yeah.
It's very difficult, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah. If you're both in the same place, you'll get those kind of relationships where people don't talk, but they have this connection where they kind of yearn at each other. Yeah. It's almost like they don't need the words. which is the positive introversion. The negative introversion is when you get two people that are either side of the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my side of the bed, that's your side of the bed, and we don't meet in the middle.
Mm.
That's the... Yeah.
That's a good point.
Cool. Yeah. Fascinating. All right. We'll leave it there. Have you got a resource of the week?
Yeah, I've put up an app, which is where you can do your own test. It's like personality evaluation test, and you can look at your own levels of introversion and extroversion.
I think it's actually...
Wonderful apps.
Yeah, there's a... Something, there's a New York Mag link I'll put up as well, which has an online test you can do as well.
Cool.
Sounds pretty cool. My resource is a film called Inside Out, a Pixar movie that came out a few months ago.
Did you enjoy watching it?
Brilliant. I'm a big Pixar fan. I'm a massive Pixar fan, as everyone knows, so
I'll stick... Age 34.
Well, it's quite an intellectual-ish kind of flick.
Very much.
Have you seen Wall-E? Up? Have you seen Up?
Yeah, I've seen Up.
They're good films. What?
Wall-E's very depressing, isn't it?
Wall-E. The first half hour where there's like no words whatsoever.
It's very bleak.
That appeals to my introvert side, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the inside-out thing does express a lot of psychology because it looks at the different aspects that argue with each other inside your head. So it does have that in it.
So I'll put the trailer up and hunt it. I think it came out on DVD a few weeks ago, so
you'll
be able to find it somewhere. We haven't actually decided what we're going to talk about next week, although I have had a couple of listener requests, so it'll be one of those.
Yep.
In the meantime, visit livingthepresent.co.uk for all the links to things we've just discussed.
Yeah.
Including perhaps a picture of Emma.
No.
No, how about that photo you like? The one photo
the one
of yourself you like?
let's stick
that one up. And drop us an email if there's anything you'd like us to talk about in future episodes. In the meantime, I'll say goodbye.
And so am I.
See you, Emma.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.